Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So So on today's show, we will be discussing Lightning and Thunder featuring Ross Ija, Eternal Fire. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Also, check out our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. You can also check us out on our new YouTube channel. We are posting videos, exclusive video content on there. And again, that's youtube.com/CWTQ update. All right. I hope everybody had a wonderful and awesome weekend. You know, I had a great one myself. All right. So our monthly yoga pose is the Ka pose, and it's for our Black History Month special. You can go check that out on our Blogspot page. It's a comedic yoga position, and it's an awesome position. I love that position. Has many benefits, and you can check out all the information on how to get into it and how to get your comedic yoga on. So again, that's conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, the comedic yoga pose of the month. All right, we do have a weekly affirmation, and this week's affirmation is: I remain grounded and focused on my goals and ambitions. My dreams are manifesting into reality, and I am now master of my cipher. Ashe. All right? You can check that and many more out on our various sites. You can follow me on Twitter at TayQueen. You can also find our daily affirmations posted on our Facebook page, and you can find our weekly affirmations posted on the blog site. All right, you guys, I have some really great and exciting news. Of course, it's only 2 weeks until the Revolutionary Women in Reggae Festival. So if you are in the Boston area or in the East Coast, Northeast, and you want to come out, again, definitely do so. The Revolutionary Women in Reggae Festival in Boston will be held on March 9th. And I will be co-hosting it, so it's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. If you want to find out more information about that, you can, again, go to our conversationswiththequeen.blogspot page, or you can come back and tune in next week, and we will be having the sister who's putting it all together on the show, and she's going to really explain the whole process and really get down to business with us. You'll find some interesting things out about this sister. She's an awesome sister, so definitely, definitely do that out. We also have a fundraiser for consciousads.org. You definitely, definitely want to go check that out as well. We have the information posted on our fan page as well as our Facebook group. And you can go, I think it's an Indiegogo fundraiser, and I'll be participating in it as well and help raising awareness. I do believe it's focused on getting more indigenous awareness as well as helping rainforest restoration. So definitely do go check that out as well. I'll post the information probably on the Facebook page as well as the Conversations with the Queen Blogspot page. So I'm really, really excited to get into this. But while we wait a little while for our co-host and our guest to get settled in, I'm going to play actually one of the songs from Ross Ija, Eternal Fire. And this one is actually the title of the show, which is Lightning and Thunder. So we're going to get into that.
Let the fire be blazed. Oh Lord, what goes around comes around. All right, and what goes up it must come down. Yeah. What goes around comes around. All right, that I bless my with the power and some hey. Well, I like.
can't separate the black from the white. For them are the most beat and never ready to unite. Them say we inferior, so Africa them exploit. The tables them turn, party the fire light. Burn our meals of worship, lifting reptiles from the table.
Conversations with the Queen, and we're here finally with our new co-host. Peace, are you on the line?
I am.
Hey, girl.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm awesome.
Introduce yourself to the people. Introduce yourself to the people so they get familiar. Actually, we've had the sister on the show before, if you remember, our show on fashion. So definitely introduce yourself, sis, and let everybody know.
Awesome. Hi, everyone. I'm Mel Green. You can say I'm a model. I do help out in the entertainment industry. And I am new to the conscious world and very happy to be here. And I go to school for law, so, you know, women and radio people need lawyers, so that's definitely my alley. And I'm so glad to be a part of the show.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you here. Definitely glad to have you here on this very, very special show. You know, let the people know a little bit about your passions and some of the things that we verse about. I know one of your passions definitely is educating sisters. So, you know, we love that here on Conversations with the Queen. Last week we had our show on womb health. So let everybody know about some of your passions and some of the things that you love to do.
Well, I am enthralled with the Egyptian culture. I think it's one of the most beautifulest cultures ever on the planet. Wow, my passion. So many. My idea is to eventually have a conscious institution where our students can go to learn the truth about their ancestry, who they are, where they come from, because I feel as though a lot of our people don't know where they come from, so they have no idea as to where they're going. But if they knew the greatness that they have come from and understood the power that they hold within them, I think that, you know, we could go back to how it used to be. And like they said, when Egypt ruled the world, we ruled with an iron fist, and I believe we could get back there. We just have to train up the children, train women, train men. And I definitely believe we can get back to where we once was as a people. So my idea is to have an institution where our people can go to understand this is your history and to actually take back and reclaim what is ours, what belongs to us. So, you know, those are definitely ways, one of my many, many passions. I have so many. And I'm also thinking about doing a biography. I want to take a trip to Kemet, which for those of you who don't know is Egypt. But I definitely want to take a trip back home to definitely just get a feel, to see, to know, you know, and definitely to study so that way that when, you know, people have questions, I can also be able to answer. But I also want to write a biography, and the biography will be about our story and where we came from to what we have been and to possibly have, you know, some type of solution. To try to help our people get back to where we need to be. I definitely would like to have a panel on that. I think that would be so awesome to have a discussion panel on that. Because that, I think that's what we need to be. We really need to get in there and really just start getting our fist in there, because let's be really clear here. No martyr has ever made a statement by doing something really morally appreciated. Unfortunately, our oppressors never morally appreciated us. So when we fight back, we can't really be morally appreciative. We have to take a fight, a real stand. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I applaud those who do marches and strikes, but we got to be more of a full force. You always got to be at least 10 steps ahead of your oppressor. And unfortunately, we are 10 steps behind. But I would like to,
we got
to, you know,
really re-up on just education, understanding who we are, you know.
Right. And I think that if we can just get a team of dedicated people, like, you know, you have these missionaries out here that's just dedicated for the church. Well, if we have some dedicated people, you know, in the conscious world to really just go out and say, you know what, my brother, my sister, I got to grab a hold and grab a hold of you, you know, let you know this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what you were meant to. And get a lot of this brainwashing out, because our people are really, really brainwashed. It's really ridiculous how we are treated, but we don't really see the real treatment. We think, you know, slavery ended years ago. No, sorry. They stopped enslaving you one way and just started enslaving you in another way.
Exactly. I was actually watching Hidden Colors, too, last night. Big ups to the YouTube channel, Brooklyn Magi. He'd be posting some great information up there. But I was watching Hidden Colors, too.
That's so funny. I have Hidden Colors 1 and 2, and I was watching that last night.
Girl, I was watching it last night, right, and they were really, really going in on a couple of those topics that you hit on. They were talking about, I believe they actually even hit on this. They said that
KRS-One was one of them.
Yeah.
They really touched on
it. Yeah, they said that slavery was abolished except for in the case of mass incarceration. So we see that the same. I mean, don't think that just because you're not incarcerated, we're not enslaved to some degree. Because consumerism and capitalism is a form of slavery as well. But but you know, the actual chattel slavery is still being practiced until this day in the prisons. And as we know, we have a high concentration of Black and so-called Latinos or Hispanics in these institutions, and we're really the driving force yet and still being enslaved. There are more men in the institution, in the prison institution right now than there were enslaved Black people before the Civil War. So that's crazy. That's just ridiculous. That means the prison population is definitely out of control. So our people really got to wake up to the reality of what's going on here. And, you know, I feel like what you're saying.
I think they said it best. And I think what people really need to realize and wake up and really need to understand is the one that's oppressing you is not going to turn around and be the one that takes care of you.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Do you really think that? The one that oppressed you, put you in slavery, beat you down, is now going to turn around and give you handouts? For what? Why?
Exactly.
Why would they? Why is it that Asians can come in this country, not have any social security, no history, no nothing, and get credit, but the ones that are black that have been here and built this country on their back can't get a dime, can't get a loan, can't get anything? And a lot of people have to realize this system is designed to keep you down if you are of color. Of color in the sense of if you have melanin in your skin. The heavily melanated you are, the worse it is for you. And that is the idea. Why is it that we don't have, you know, our own? And that's the problem. We did have the Black Wall Street.
Yeah, we
did.
Which we posted about on Conversations with the Queen.
I mean, does anybody remember the Gap Band? Does anybody, you know, understand that song? You dropped a bomb on me, David. You know, it's really, really important that we understand we can have, we just have to come together. And that's the
exactly
problem.
Group economics. We really got to practice that. We really got to invest our time and our money back into each other and each other's institutions of business.
Exactly.
When you go into the Asian community, these other communities, that's what they're doing, you know? That's what they're practicing.
It goes
they're like,
it circles around the community at least 13 times.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're here sitting. As soon as we get a paycheck, we go into Target. We go into Walmart. We go into CVS. We go into Walgreens. We go into Eblen. We go in wherever the little, I mean, even these urban stores, when you look at the chains, they're not owned by black people. That's ridiculous.
Right.
We shop there. We support 100%, almost 100% of their business, probably at least 70% of their business. And yet, and still, we don't own that.
We don't get any respect, and we don't own any assets of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that is so sad. If you ever notice, everybody else is in our neighborhood, but we can't go into everybody else's neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Everybody can come in us to sell us whatever. You know, the Jews come to us, sell us whatever. The Asians come to us, sell us the hair weave. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, it's true.
Everybody.
That's the sad part about it. That is the sad part. And the thing is that we don't take a stand and say, no, you're not allowed in our community. We're just like, hey, sure. You ever notice there's Arab rights, there's Muslim rights, there's rights for whites, there's rights for Asians, but there's no real black rights. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we are still considered two-fifths of a person?
Yeah,
I don't think our people really realize that. We're not even considered human beings. We are considered two-fifths of a person. You're not even a whole person. You're just property to them. And they make money off you. They couldn't enslave you regular ways, so they enslaved you in prison. And it's so funny, oh, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. It doesn't matter what side you choose, they're all enslaving you no matter what.
Exactly.
And all politics is who's bigger, who's badder, who can flex their muscles a little bit more. But the only ones that suffer is us. But that's the problem. We don't have no economics, so therefore we don't really have no politicians, therefore we don't really control the media. And that's the problem. We don't have none of that. But that's because we can't come together, or we always want to be, oh, I can't work with black people. How are you black saying that you can't work with the black? What? That means you can't.
But we are only people, though, first and foremost, we the only people who don't work and have family businesses. When you peep everybody else, they work with their family. They employ their cousin, their uncle, their sister, their brother. They employ because they know if I'm going to give money, I'm going to give it back to the family because families accumulate wealth. You all going to help each other out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and that's why Mexicans all live in the house together. Because what do they do?
Yep.
They all live together and they all put their money together. And what they do, they all get a store. And then it's their store. And then they have their damn money. And then they do whatever, whatever individually. But the main goal is they put in their money to get that main part. And that's the problem. We so quick to, oh, I want to branch out and do my own thing that we can't come together and say, let's do this together. Let's live in a house, $1,400 house, five-bedroom house, and we all live together and pool our money together and really make something. We could take over. If we was to, instead of putting our money into what we put it in, we could actually fund to rebuild Africa. We spend about $6.6 billion in revenue in this country.
Yep.
The country is living off of our backs. If we were to take that money and put it into ourselves, we would be a problem. Do you understand? We would override the system.
Exactly.
Let the system tell us what to do. We too busy listening to Jay-Z and we big pants and fantasies. We too caught up.
Exactly. Speaking of listening to some BS on the radio, let's get into a positive track by a spoken word artist called Black Fire. It's called Black Beauty. This track right here is awesome. You can find it on youtube.com/CWTQ update. You can also find it on his YouTube page. Go over there, subscribe. It's youtube.com/BlackFireArt, everything spelled correctly. All right, let's get into this track real quick.
People perish for lack of knowledge. Black Fire. True. Black Fire.
Hot fire.
Yeah. You heard about Beauty and the Beast. I hear about Beauty and the East. Beauty and the East. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Beauty in the East, travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Yeah. This is for our peeps that weep in the streets and pound the concrete.
True.
This is for those who rose out the cracks. Petals start shining, learning how to stack. Hey, and seize the day, carpe diem. This is a hymn in church for those at cyber confessions. Man, do you see him? This is for the Jesus' last supper in prisons. Convalescent homes where people die old with no lovers. This is for mothers and brothers, fathers and daughters. Beauty in the East. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Beauty in the East. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. And the sun rising east, where beauty becomes the beast. This is for the least of least. No tricks, just treats. Just work, no sleep. This is where still waters run deep. This is where Mumia Abu say, Obama, I beg your pardon. This is the ghetto sun, and I tuned in to what's happening, ain't got reruns. This is for one woman, one man, one man, one vote. Why we mustn't wait, and why Black Jesse Owen, Dead Jacksons ain't no joke. Beauty in the East. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. Beauty in the East. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideas. The beast becomes the beautiful, and truth is what's real. For little B locked up for life only 13. This is a mama warrior's dream. That one day people of every nation and creed will barack for reggae one drop. Touch, taste, feel. No Hollywood, no stages. Just broken hearts and inner rages. This is for the lion and lionesses still locked up in cages. Beauty in the East. Travel light, watch your speech. Babylon by bus, still mama won't let I cuss. Trust broken like bad ideals. The beast becomes beautiful, and truth is what's real. This is for you, sow what you reap. Where in broad daylight people creep, the agony of defeat, lost in black sheep. Heaps of gold in Havala, they claim it's not in Africa. Yet now it's cool to be Kenyan. Check the word for blessing, then learn a lesson. This is for 7-year-old emperors and ladies born queens. This is for Malcolm X's courage and Martin Luther's dream. This is Aretha Franklin saying, rescue me. And Mahalia Jackson singing, roll, Jordan, roll. This is for you if you need to save your soul. I got our Jordans on like Michael, and I roll big spliffs like Peter Tosh. And baby, if you catch it when I shove it, oh gosh. Stepping razor needs a savior. Brown sugar ain't got no behavior. No longer nigger, now they need us, so they call us niggas. Can you feel us? Beauty and the beast, the least of least. Beauty and the east, black beauty. Black fire, black fire.
All right, that was Black Fire, Black Beauty. All right, definitely, definitely a great track. Did you enjoy it, Nels? I enjoyed that, you know.
It was enlightening.
Exactly. We do have that artist on the line, Black Fire. We're going to bring him on. What's up,
bless
peace, brother?
Blessed, peace and love and equal rights and justice for you all. I'm blessed to be on this show, Conversations with the Queen. Love the reasoning so far and love the word sound from your co-host. She's right on point. I don't even like to say point. She's right in fullness.
Exactly.
With the frequency. Blessed. It's a pleasure.
How you doing? How you living? How's everything going for you?
Yo, I'm on top of it like the metropolis, you know?
I
have a cosmic swag, you know?
I feel you.
My mama told me to, you know, just do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think the church has a monopoly on that truth. You know, we just give love, so we receive love. Keep our hearts open, you know? And any true poet. And it's the same with reggae, dub poetry, reggae. Just open our heart to the current of the world and make a vow to speak the truth and speak it ever.
Exactly. All right. What really was the inspiration behind that powerful song?
The inspiration, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the word and the question says a lot, because to inspire means to breathe in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as I walked this journey, you know, I had to take a pause within myself, you know, even in reaching for our goals. I thought the first pause was when I chose to leave sciences and go more into literature and poetry and more of what I call the mystical journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, you know, became a constant or an eternal need to focus and inspire ourselves, because, of course, there's no classified section of the newspaper that you can turn to and it says dub poetry, reggae artist needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So I had to motivate myself all the time. I felt I was on the right path. I felt inspired in the sense of I felt motivated. Yet in doing that, I came across a lot of other people who'd made that choice to go on the mystical journey, to go on the journey of the heart, I call it, you know, to trust their visions. And all those people along the way, the greatest number of them was always our people, you know, people of African ascent, you know, people, melanated people. Not to, you know, really say that that this is a racial argument, you know.
Okay.
It's just more of, that's not even an apology for what I said. It's just more of a salute to our people and what we do to hold each other up no matter what we choose to do, as long as it's positive. And I said, you know what, that's it. That's what I love about our people. We're so inherently beautiful, and we're not really haters. You know, there's a small percentage of us that make a lot of us look bad. And I said, you know, I want to do something. It's already, I know I'm non-commercial. I like the way that I move. I like my energy. But I want to do something intentionally for our people, you know, to make them feel the love that someone like I has for feeling welcome and belonging, and you don't need no Civil Rights Act for it. You know, you just feel it, you know. A black person can land anywhere with his black people, and you're going to be all right, as long as you are an all right person. Mm-hmm. And I can say that in the most negative situation I've been in, where these people are supposed to be terrible people, whether it's killers or, you know, negative in some other sense, and found the same thing to be true. It wasn't just in, say, a religious scenario. So the motivation of that song was really just to tell my people, thank you for being who you are. Keep your head up. You're beautiful. You know, it was certainly has connotations towards an African woman, you know, coming from a black woman, like I said, a strong matriarch of my family, you know, who kept her head up, showed us how to keep her head up. So all of that was in there. My people, how do I say thank you to my people? Tell my people that I'm proud to be who I am, whether you call it black, African, African-American, Nubian, Tibetan, whatever you roster.
Moorish, whatever you want to put
on
Moorish,
it. Yeah, Moorish, however you want to call it. Let's just get together and feel all right. Like
Exactly. I mean, the thing I feel like is sometimes we spend way too much time worrying about what we're going to call ourselves. When I think, honestly and truthfully, if you trace our roots ancestrally, we come from a time before we even spoke words. So, you know what I'm saying? And we want to get real deep. We was like sound frequency A or some, you know what I'm saying? We ain't call each other we speak words the same way we speak words now. So,
And in some
all
sense,
that.
Yeah, in some sense, you know, not to interrupt you, but just to enhance what you're saying, because it inspires by, in some sense, it has to do with the fact that words for us in Africa, it meant so much more. It was a full nation. It was a sound. It included our body language. It included expression on our face. It included, like I said, the sound. You see, I'm also a carpenter on some level. It helped see that through the lean times when the words weren't paying. But the meditation is, you know, I learned you can check a wood before you even drive a nail through it by just knocking it. You can check the soundness of it. So the Rasta community, we say word, sound, power. There's no soundness in the word. There's not going to be no power. So what's the soundness of the word? It's the veracity. It's the, you know, they say believability. I have some challenges with the word believe anyway. The sense of knowing that the person who's speaking actually knows what they're talking about through experience and not just, say, book knowledge or hearsay. You know, they went through something that has evolved them into knowing that thing that they're speaking of. That has an echo with it, you know, and that has a vibrational force with it. And that vibrational force has carried on since the beginning of time, since the cradle of civilization. And we carry it through as true griots, as true poets. You know, so my inspiration is that, you know, it's our people and it's the truth. We have the courage to not just speak the truth, to be the truth. What is the truth? The truth is survival. The fact that we're still here.
I agree with that, and I think also that we need to learn how to become in tune. The reason why we don't understand that words have and don't understand sound is because we're not in tune. In order for you to understand the frequency and the levels of frequency, you have to be in tune. And we're so out of touch with ourselves. Not even forget other people. We're so out of touch with ourselves that we let our egos inflate and give us this false sense of reality.
Right.
We don't understand that in order to truly understand who and what we are, we have to look within ourselves, and not within our egos, but within our true self. Then and only then can we understand the frequency. And I agree, words are something that we were taught to speak. We were taught. Mm-hmm. All of this was taught. See, with us, we knew because we were already in tune. We were in line. And that's the thing. They knocked us off of our alignment. So now that we're knocked off, we're kind of walking with a sprint because we can't walk straight up because we're not in tune. So I believe, you know, especially through your poetry and listening to what you were saying, a lot of it is getting them back in tune. But we're so out of whack listening to beats and not words.
Yes.
because that's what it
yes.
is, speech, not words. Have
yes.
if people were just to listen to the knowledge that's being spent within and
yeah.
of itself, because I just was listening to you, you talk about Martin, and you mentioned Malcolm, a lot of people don't really understand the
yeah.
roles of these people. You only talk what they teach you in school, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
therefore, what you learn in school is what you think is the truth, because they're not going to lie
yeah.
to you in school. Yeah, we all know that's a lie. But you know
exactly.
what I mean? You're
no,
taught
no, I agree with you.
Right, you're taught mediocre crap, so, you know, you don't really know.
Yeah, if I may touch that, you know, even when a bird flies, you know, it looks like it's flying on nothing, yet a little meditation helps you to understand that it's flying because of the wind also. So there's something there,
mm-hmm.
even though you can't see it, you know. So mm-hmm. words is much like that. I look at it. There's something there, even though you can't see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I speak,
right.
it's everything that my mom taught me when she taught me how to stand, how to keep my chest up, my shoulders back, how to keep my
yep.
head up. All of that is in my words. And
exactly.
what she taught me to pay attention in class, not to feel like a nerd because I sit at the front of the class. You know, I can still be cool. Cool is in who you are. And cool is in having an answer in the right time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching me that, see, those things didn't allow me to give them to peer pressure, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Often, the peer pressure is a problem in the sense that none of them know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And all
very
of them
true.
Are searching for an identity. So, like what you
and
touched on, when
and that's our problem.
When you go, when you find the answer within, because a lot of times
right.
people spend so much time on the wrong path, going to universities, who a lot of times are creating thieves and murderers, that they never get to know the greatest person they can ever get to know, which is themselves. And that's the greatest contribution, greatest gift you can give the earth is yourself. Because nobody, if you fail at that, nobody can fill that. Nobody can do you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
man or woman, know thyself. Know thyself.
And it's also not only knowing yourself, but having that identity of yourself.
Of that identity.
Somebody else's identity. Hello, you're not Nicki Minaj. Stop trying to be Nicki Minaj. Stop trying to be Jay-Z. Stop trying to be Beyonce.
Exactly.
They are them and you are you. And so we're too busy trying to cling on to an identity. But, I mean, I don't mean to, I'm never going to blame anyone's parents, but as a role of, and the job of a parent is to teach your child self-worth. And a lot of us don't have that self-worth.
Yes.
And
you know
the reason,
what made
me think
about
of that
self-worth,
is,
that, you know what's very interesting about that, if I'm there?
Mm-hmm.
For especially as a poet, my mom was the biggest challenge when I decided not to do science. And it was her who taught me to be myself that helped I to survive the biggest challenge, which was her challenge to I deciding to become a poet instead of a physician. It's just ironic, you know, because I had to use the same courage to stand up to her spiritually, you know, to choose my path. So that self-esteem has a lot to do with how you present in the community. Can you feel like you have something special to offer the community that they might not even get it? Yet, if you do it properly, they will get it. Because how could they not
get
it?
Right, but that's what we don't understand. We're all special enough that we all are so individually unique that when we come together, all our differences and our special qualities tend to make us be greater than anyone else because we are so unique.
Exactly.
And it's a beautiful uniqueness that
that's
we
right.
have.
Exactly. And I like the way
we don't realize that.
Yes, and I like the way Damian Marley, Junior Gong said it. That's the difference is that's what really makes the world go round. And what's interesting is the world is looking for answers. And it's the reason they're looking for answers, people are out of order. The reason they're out of order is because in this politically correct society, people are afraid to be themselves. So how the answer is going to be there when the people aren't able to show up for the work that needs to be done. Within that reality, they're showing up for the assembly line work. How many cars can you make? How many basketball players do you need? You know, how many lawyers do you need running around lying? So, I mean, who's going to do the other stuff? You know what I mean? And not just do the other stuff, why won't they allow people? Because when you allow people to explore, a lot of times the poet in Africa was also the physician, was also the engineer. They had more things, even just within more dimensions within themselves. That So there's a lot going on, not just in cookie cutting people, it also in limiting people.
Yes,
one of the reasons I did poetry is that I found less limits for my self-expression. I can fit a lot into that 5 minutes. I can speak about it. I have the power to put Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Mumia Abu, Jamal, Little B, all on the same track, in the same dimension, in the same time, and help us to realize we're fighting for the same cause. Whether we say Muslim, Christian, we shouldn't need assassinations and Trayvon bullets in order to overstand. We're on in the same boat, rocking on the same rock, and the people up there in Newton shooting their little babies are frustrated because they can't shoot our little babies because of the Black Panthers. That stuff's chicken coming home to roost. Yeah, because of Martin Luther King's boldness, because of Mumia Abu doing time over there, and Jermaine Earl Pratt and Tupac's stepdad, these people who still doing 60 years and doing time for us, who really were on the front line, these political prisoners, because of Mandela, they can't run around just shooting our children because of Marcus Garvey, you know. Mm-hmm. We got a lot more names we need to call during Black History Month.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need to educate our people.
And that's why we're doing that on Conversations with the Queen. When you go over to my fan page,
every day I'm posting
a new thing. And it's not just the same old Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, though I do love them both. It's not just the same old, because the problem is when we was in school and Black History Month would roll around, we watched the I Have a Dream speech talk about Harriet Tubman real quick and keep it moving.
Here's the thing about that, and that's true.
So much more.
And the thing I didn't like is in school, they always need Malcolm X to be some radical, bad kind of guy. But nobody really understands the importance of Malcolm X and what his contribution to our, not even struggle, but our fight really is. And I just the way the men thought. I'm not necessarily with religion. Everybody has their own religion.
Exactly.
You do that fine. But the way the man thought and how he thought and the things that he said, if we were to listen to half the things Malcolm said, we would be A-okay. That 10 steps ahead I was saying earlier, we'd at least be five. If we were looking at half of what Malcolm said, we would be five. No, seriously. Because he definitely was the one who said, how can the oppressor be your friend when all of the time he has been oppressing you? If you are, if you are dumb enough to believe that the oppressor is here to help you, then you have a problem. They have never done anything to help us at all. So
and that's why they teach him as a villain in the schools, though. But that's why they teach him like that, because if you look at the whole way that the school system is set up, it's set up to create people who are emotionless, who are not unique individuals, who all think the same, dress the same, act the same, eat the same, all these things the same.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
if you were to understand somebody who is speaking up not only for their people, but for the ability to be free. Then you are now teaching these children from either a conscious level or a subconscious level to rebel against the very system in which you want them to be a part of.
Yeah, and you said a lot there.
And
the fullness, not to cut you, the fullness is you cannot, and this should enhance what you're saying, you cannot look, we're looking too much to the system, to the shitstorm for a solution. And if the the shit
so they're looking for them to fix it with this joke.
There's an inherent hypocrisy. There's an inherent hypocrisy because the Constitution says that we're 3/5 of a man. It's still written there. And yet the dollar bill that the Constitution exists in order to defend, that's how we have a federal government, it proves that this is really a company and not a country.
It has the company of the United States of America.
It has pyramids on it. So how do you have pyramids on? It's a hypocrisy. You have pyramids on a dollar, which show the greatest masons of all time, which are African ascent. Yet you have in your the Constitution that we're 3/5 of a man.
Let's take it even further than that. Let's take it to the $10 bill. The president, quote unquote, which he was never really a president, but nobody really knows that. On the person on the $10 bill, which they say is supposed to be every president is on a bill. Alexander Hamilton was never president. People don't realize that. Get it together. But Alexander Hamilton was actually a black man of African descent. The father of capitalism, hello, was actually a black man. It's just to you, they portray him to be white. He really was not. And he came from the island. But most people don't know that. And they keep the truth hidden, so that way your mind is kept closed.
It's kept closed.
And it's up to you to open up that mind and say, oh, no, now you got to stop pulling the wool over my eyes. Now you got to stop this. Because nobody realizes that not only did we have the Black Wall Street, but even before the Black Wall Street, what is the truth behind Rosewood? Nobody realizes that Rosewood was actually a community of wealthy black millionaires that was massacred and burnt to the ground. That's what really is the truth behind Rosewood. But our people don't know that. We're taught that we were these mammies and we were these black dolls that just did whatever. But no, you have been had greatness. You have had greatness even in this ridiculousness of a country business, whatever you want to
call it.
We have established our own.
Yeah, every time they needed to order something, they turned to us, you know.
Exactly.
I understand, and I trust my people, and this came through the grapevine, so I'm not going to give no bibliography for it. But I understand that George Washington was a general, and since it was a black man that was actually the first president, they didn't want to put his picture.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was
they didn't
want to
show his
man.
Picture.
The black man ran the country first before George Washington, and nobody knew that. The first president was
called the Continental Congress at that time.
So it's sort of like how they dealt with our music.
That.
It's sort of like how they dealt with our music when they used to put white people on the cover, even though it was a black band, an all-black band.
Right.
It's the same principle.
And the saddest thing ever is what people also don't really realize and what's so important is that a lot of what goes on, a lot of what they contribute to the fathers of science, those fathers of science in their own writing gave us the compliments, said that they took our stuff. Yet we're listening to their third ground watered nonsense and taking it on for hours when they are the ones who actually stole it from us and they're telling us to our face, we took it from you and we're using it. Because let's be really clear here. If I don't want to, you know, get all unpolitically correct, but if the non-melanated community created all of this and all of that, then why wasn't it here before 5,000 years ago?
Exactly. Well said.
It wasn't.
I love that reasoning.
It wasn't.
Why wasn't it here before
10,000 years ago? Why? Because the non-melanated nation never created nothing but homosexuality and bestiality.
That is
the only thing
they ever came up with. They cannot show no sustained nation without our footprints. They cannot show no sustained nation without our footprints on that.
True.
And that is a fact. And they cannot.
By naming them, Greece, Rome, Britain.
All of them.
Let's go up in there. Spain.
When they presented religion. When they presented religion.
So sad, and as a people, we don't know this. And the reason why we don't know is because they keep it away from us. They know we're not going to be able to travel to Europe. So why do you think all our artifacts and history are all in museums overseas? We can't never get over there to see them because we don't have the resources to do so.
We got a caller on the line with their hand raised. Caller from the 508 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen, speaking with Black Fire Nels and Tay Queen. Peace.
Bless her. Bless her. Yes, love. Bless her family.
Wow. This is your sister. It's going to be your oldest sister, your youngest sister. My name is Jerrica. And just peace. I just want to introduce myself or give you a piece of me. I'm the tech person who will have this hair, and I wear my hair naturally. And people ask me all the time where I'm from, who my parents are, and they say, "Oh, so you have pretty hair because you have Latina in your blood."
June, speak up just a little bit, Doctor. Just a little bit.
Is this clear? Is this clear?
Yeah, go to.
All right. My answer to this, and I get it on many, many occasions, is that my hair is pretty because I'm black, but every other flaw you may see in me is probably because of, you know, that lack of melanin, you know, that little bit that kind of counters it. My mistrust for people, and that's where it comes from. Being an empath, you pick up on the mistrust for other people, for your brothers and sisters, that confusion. Black people never get confused. We're too intelligent for that. But if you put yourself in amongst other, what do you call them, not melanated community members, you pick up on the confusion. You pick up on the insecurity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you make it your own, but you should be empowered and treat them all like your little brothers and sisters, honestly. And that's how
spiritually, I agree. A lot of times we need to realize that when someone doesn't know that it's because spiritually they haven't been exposed. You know, people choose to be ignorant, you know, and we can't be cowards either. So we have to challenge with strength, you know. But most of the time, you know, we have to realize that there's a system that was set up in order to keep people ignorant, in order to keep people in the dark. Because knowledge is power. And once you know yourself, you can't be false to anybody. And it even goes further than that. Other people can't be false to you. Because honestly, the more I studied and the more knowledge that I had, the less I really cared what other people thought. call that assertive. They can call that forthright. The point is, right path, because it was causing I to have a positive self-esteem about myself, even though my mom didn't even know a lot of the knowledge that I was uncovering. She pointed I in the right direction. If I'm not feeling good about myself, I don't need other people to tell me that. So I had a problem even with my feeling uncomfortable about other people feeling uncomfortable with me. I challenged that first, and then became comfortable with whatever percentage of melanin I had in me, because it was there. It's who I am. And I prefer white people, honestly, everyone needs to listen to exactly what I'm about to say, because I don't want to be misquoted. I speak for Black Fireborn April. I would rather a white person that is comfortable with they self and understands their history, that they really didn't come from a history, that they came from the caves, Caucasoid Mountains, and they crawled out of there and was painting themselves blue and howling at the moon when we had toilets. I would deal with that Caucasian any day than black person, just run
truly,
wearing Tommy Hilfiger and don't realize that Tommy Hilfiger don't give a fuck about him, and run into... To elevate themselves by even going to these institutions and not realizing institutions don't care nothing about them. And validating themselves by what they drive, which is, interestingly, in modern times, called a whip, because it's still whipping them, and where they live and who they live beside, instead of just loving themselves first. And
truly, brother, wise. You're very wise. And let me leave with just this. If we know our strengths and we know where to go from, just as the plants grow when they're strong and they have stronger nutrients, but they can still be surrounded by other plants that draw from them their strength.
Yeah.
We can still focus on where we need to grow and the examples we need to set. So that is our challenge as melanated people, to stay strong. And that's the work that our ancestors have started. So we must finish staying strong. And just what we do is we don't look down at them, but we look lovingly to them, because we must bring, you know, if they want to draw energy from us, we have to show them respect and show them how to respect themselves. They're never going to learn how to respect themselves. And some of them are very elderly and they haven't learned how to respect themselves. And the best thing you can do for a little brother and sister is to teach them, respect yourself, love yourself. And that's what is contagious, and that's how I'm finishing work.
And can I suggest this also? Everything you said was irie. I love it. And I want to suggest this, that we all have to learn and teach each other how to draw energy from the universe and from the earth. The universe and the earth have an endless supply of energy. When we try to draw energy from each other, we become dependent. And the Most High created us, and I'm not suggesting that this that there was not this is not what you were suggesting. You know, I just want to clarify and enhance what you're saying. We're conduits of energy. We're walking light. You know, we're water.
Co-creators.
Electricity. Yeah, co-creators. So we have within ourselves endless sources of energy, and once we learn to draw from ourselves, and like I repeat, it doesn't matter what other people think about us, and we're raised for it to matter. We should shine so that we can either be of help to other people or allow them to shine if that's what needs to happen in that moment.
And do you know what to add on to what you're saying, the energy that you're talking about is pure and true divine love. That's the energy that you're talking about.
Yes.
Because
when
you go into the metaphysics and you begin to deal with the meditations and the visualization and the understanding of creation and sound, power, and frequency and all these things, the root of that is that creation frequency is love. That's that love frequency.
Yes, which is true. Which is
Thank
why
you,
I said
sister.
I didn't want to distract from what
well,
she was saying.
Queen.
Because in essence, when you're reaching for the love, it is still from people, you know. So the energy that I'm speaking about in the universe, ironically, is still people, you know. However, when we search to give it, you know, it's in giving the whole age-old adage that we receive.
Yes, truly. The two ways you could go is you could ground yourself to it, or you could awaken it up in your brother. As a sister, you must ground yourself to that energy, and as a brother, you could wake yourself up to it. And maybe because it could be seen another way, but you know that's the work I do with, and I look forward to Gemini Creations, Rose Quartz Jewelry coming soon.
Yes,
I love you. Love you.
Love you so much.
That's it.
Well, you know,
we ran
out of time, so I have to let all
Thank
of you beautiful saying. People go. Right.
Yeah, I love how you claim the melanin.
Yes, thank you.
Salute.
Thank you for spending this time with us. I know it wasn't planned, but, you know, sometimes the best discussions are unplanned. So we're definitely going to have this brother back on Blackfire, really going in on the subject, really going in on everything he does. And we're going to have him on, I do believe it's April 1st. We got you scheduled down. So we're going to have you on April 1st.
First light.
Yes.
That'll be a pleasure.
All right. So thank you for spending this time with us, brother. It was
thank
a pleasure
you.
Talking to you. Pleasure building with
Salute
you.
Salute to Queen. Salute to Co-Queen.
Exactly.
Salute to Queen that called in. The Trinity Queens. And I've been in the presence of Queens. So I know that it has only enhanced our existence.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So being born with our twin sister, shout out to my twin sister. You see what you did to me? You're blessed I be around Queens. So more love to Mama.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Nels, for spending this time with us, girl. It was lovely to have you on your first show. Girl, you made the show a success. You know what I'm saying? You and Blackfire and everybody who called in, you all made the show a success. So thank you for calling in, sis, and thank you for being a part of this show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and so you're going to check us out every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tay Queen and the sister Nels are going to be on here. Next week we're going to have the sister Mad Hain from Revolutionary Women in Reggae. She's going to be coming on, speaking about the festival, speaking about the whole movement that she's putting together here in the Boston area, March 8th through the 10th in the city of Boston.
I'm in the wrong state.
definitely. So she's gonna come on next week. So definitely come back to listen to that show. All right, and it was a pleasure spending time with you. And peace, love, and so many blessings. I'm gonna take it out with a song by NECA, the Nigerian wonderful activist artist, beautiful sister, Vagabonds in Power.
vagabonding power. Vagabonding power. Vagabonding power. Vagabonding power. Vagabonding power. Vagabonding power. Yeah, yeah. As they touch on me so, as they break my heart, as they do the thing what you do to me, did to me, as they rip my pride and dignity away, as they make me this sweat so, as they make me this suffer.